Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Plenty of MLB breakdowns coming your way in this third and final hour. Our MLB insider, Craig Mish, will join us in just a little bit. Then we'll go over this full Tuesday card around MLB with just over a month left of this regular season. Less than 40 games remain for all 30 clubs around Major League Baseball. A couple of college football closing thoughts at the end of this third and final hour up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yep, ready to go here, ready to get the people on the way because college football is approaching rapidly, BSS, this weekend. Dip your toes in the water, have some fun, take a look, see what's happening, open up the FanDuel Sportsbook account. Maybe you don't like to bet Major League Baseball or anything over the summer. You know you're getting involved here in college football and the pro football coming up next. So we're waiting for it here. And by the way, still waiting on some of those numbers to come up on FanDuel for those individual player props. Then it's time to get down to business.
Yeah, absolutely. So those should come out a little bit later this week, Thursday, Friday, as we get ready for the Irish opener between Florida State and Georgia Tech. Shout out Georgia Tech, by the way. Hit one of my tweets from yesterday about this college football season getting underway on Saturday with the old Riz Twiz. I will ask about Ramblin' Wreck and if it's making its way across the Atlantic over to Dublin in just a little bit. But DRS, we wanted to hear from the people. There was some conversation yesterday between quarterbacks and head coaches, Tua Tagovailoa, in a conversation with Dan Le Batard, talking about his former head coach in Brian Flores and not really feeling the love and the confidence that has been instilled and inspired within him with his new head man in Miami for the past 2 years in Mike McDaniel. I believe that was the inspiration for our Fade the Public poll today, talking about a starting quarterback versus a head coach. Which job in the National Football League is more difficult? We wanted to hear from you. It's time now for Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, in the NFL, which job is more difficult? Head coach? Starting quarterback. More than 71% of the public is saying it's a lot harder to be a starting quarterback than that of a head coach. DRS, which way did you vote in this Fade the Public poll?
I mean, we might as well went like, which harder to be a fan of, like the Eagles or the Cowboys at this point with this? I mean, this is a no-brainer at this point. Which job is more difficult? What's the toughest position in all of sport? It is the starting quarterback job and the ability to play it at a high level or just to hold on to that job itself. I mean, we've seen guys like Barry Switzer win Super Bowl championships in the NFL by just guiding a team in a certain direction. It's all about the talent, and it's simple for me, the starting quarterback, and over 70% of the people agree with that. There's no reason to fade the public. And who out there? 28%. The head coach? What are we talking about here? Why is the head coach job more or harder, should I say, than the quarterback position? I don't get that.
You know, it's an interesting conversation, I think, based on results, right? Because both of these positions, the head coach, certainly, and the quarterback, have wins and losses tied to their resumes. That is what defines a head coach and his pedigree. Did you win more than did you lose? Did you get to the postseason? Did you win championships? That's how a head coach is rewarded and evaluated. In a quarterback, although it's a game played with 22 guys on the gridiron at each and every time, and the QB is just one of 11 on the offensive side of the football, the only position in football that wins and losses are reflected on is the quarterback. Nobody ever looks at a defensive end and said, yeah, but his team was 7-10, and they haven't had a winning season in the last 5 years. We never really mention that for other positions outside of the QB spot. I also voted for a quarterback, thinking it is the hardest position, probably not just in the National Football League, but the hardest level of pedigree in all of professional sports. All the spotlight is always on you. If things are good, great. That's the expectation. If things are bad, the onus, the blame, and the finger is pointed at only one spot, and it is the quarterback. With great responsibility comes great importance, and that's how we look at QBs. It's why it got my vote as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just don't, like, the amount of hours that a head coach has to put in, we understand that. But also, the amount of hours that the starting quarterback, first in the building, last out late, getting the game plan together, grinding the midnight oil, and also having to go out and to perform. Like, I can imagine how much fun it is. Now, there is stress, granted, on both of these positions. But for me, much more on the starting quarterback. But to be a coach, like, on game day, when the game plan is set, and maybe you're a CEO-type coach, like a Mike Tomlin, it's got to be the greatest position in the world. Like, you're basically a glorified fan out there controlling the football game, but so close to the action and just hoping like your guys make the plays here, as opposed to the quarterback, like he's in it out there. He's getting blitzed here. He's taking the shots. He's got to throw that perfect pass in the 2 minute drill to continue that drive and hopefully can win a football game. So for me, the quarterback, man, it's almost you can say it's an underrated position and underappreciated because of how hard it is. And the guys like Patrick Mahomes make it look so easy. And then we see the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, man, how did this guy actually get into the National Football League? Like my guy Ben DiNucci at this point. Like, there are levels to this here, particularly at the quarterback position. And that's why, for me, you want to be out there in the Super Bowl on game day in the second half of a tie football game. Yeah, that's on the starting quarterback. Much, much more difficult to be the quarterback on game day.
And I think it is a natural fan thought at times to say, why would we fire our head? Like, the coach doesn't impact the actual play. He's not out there running the ball. He's not out there throwing the ball. He's not out there blocking. But there is that culture, which is a hard word to define, but the mentality that a head coach brings to his organization, how his team feels about him, how he organizes his staff, how involved he may or maybe not be in terms of the game plan and the schematics. But a quarterback is in charge of everything, of every single bit of minutia and detail and operation on the offensive side of the football. It is important for a head coach to delegate. The best in the NFL find the best ways of doing so. A quarterback really cannot. You just can't throw a football up there and say, okay, go get it, wide receiver. You are in charge of knowing exactly where that wide receiver needs to be, exactly what the defense is running on the other side. What is your blocking assignment? How are you scoping things out in each and every second of an NFL game on the offensive side of the football? Donnie, who do you think has a longer leash in the National Football League? A head coach that is struggling or a quarterback that is struggling?
It all takes a look at the contract, Ben. Like, if you have a quarterback that just signed a year ago with 4 years left on that extension, yeah, if the quarterback's struggling, he's going to stick around because it's much harder to do away with that. Now, if you're a coach and you sign a 5-year deal, you can be cut easily after year number two. Why? Because there is no salary cap. You pay that money, move on. It's not to the detriment of the next coaching staff. Oh, no, I was paying this coach $11 million. Now I can only afford $1 million head coach due to salary cap restraints. So for me, it depends on the contract. High-priced quarterback, he's getting a longer leash than that head coach for sure.
And I think this is a theoretical conversation, right? It's not pointed at a specific example, a specific team, a specific head coach, or a specific quarterback, but we can make it a little bit more detailed in how we approach it. For instance, let's go around the NFL. Two guys could very well enter 2024 in Dallas in their final year of contract. That's Dak Prescott, the quarterback, and Mike McCarthy, the head coach. Donnie, who would be more impactful if the Cowboys did not have them back there in 2025?
Yeah, look, Mike McCarthy, I don't think anybody would lose any sleep if they brought a fan out of the stands to stand on the sideline besides him. But then again, can you bring a fan out of the stands and play for Dak Prescott? No, you can't. The quarterback, Dak, is way more important than McCarthy at any point. So if the struggles continue this year, Dak will probably be back. They'll just blame it on McCarthy and move on.
And think about the Chicago Bears. Matt Eberflus is back for his third year as a head coach, but they deemed a quarterback was not fit to run the organization in Justin Fields. They go out and get Caleb Williams. If Daniel Jones struggles this year and the Giants say bye-bye Danny Dimes, do Brian Daboll and Joe Shane stay, making it important to find that right quarterback? Again, quarterback is the answer in the Fade the Public poll. And most of the public agree. The Daily Base is with Craig Mish up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Tuesday around Major League Baseball, a full Tuesday card where some midweek series begin today. And they are very, very important. We will look forward to the rest of this week and look back on the Monday slate with our MLB insider and the host of Newswire starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. That is Craig Mish. Craig, as always, thanks for being here on this Tuesday morning.
Of course, it is great to be here and great talking baseball as, you know, we get ready to close out August and move into the final month of the season.
That's exactly our charge here, Craig. There is not many more times we can go all around. Less than 40 games remain for all 30 MLB clubs around the big. So on this Tuesday, we do touch them all. It's time for Daily Bases. Craig, the Houston Astros are surging at the most significant time of the year. The Astros have won 11 of their last 12 games, walking it off last night in their midweek series opener against the Boston Red Sox at home. You say Kikuchi got the start. He did not get the win, but the Astros have won all four of the starts Kikuchi has now made for the Stros. They have a five-game lead in the American League West. Craig, what has worked so well for Houston in the second half of this MLB campaign?
Look, they're playing much better. Offensively, when you look at some of the numbers on the Astros, you look at it and you wonder, hey, why is Altuve's OPS down? Some of the other players. I mean, this is a league-wide thing. So I don't think you can necessarily look at every player in baseball and judge them based on past numbers. It just looks like offensively, most numbers are down. And so therefore, Houston's numbers are down. And even though they're not scoring a ton of runs, they're still getting, as you said, pitching performances. I think there's a couple of things in play here. And if you want to focus on Kikuchi, I think he is rock solid and going to pitch game two or game three for any series the Astros play in the postseason. And honestly, I have to think that that trade that they made, the Blue Jays have to sort of be looking at this and saying, what has Houston figured out that we could not? It feels like they're letting Kikuchi get into the sixth inning in every game and pulling the plug on him before things get dangerous. And his numbers have been fantastic with them all throughout August. 5 1/3, 5 2/3, 11 strikeouts, 7 strikeout, 1 strikeout. So good job by the Astros in their advanced scouting and, you know, certainly their major league scouting to determine that he was going to be the one that was going to help them. And guys, he has been a huge help to that rotation.
Yeah, we'll see. Creeping back up there as maybe one of the favorites in the American League, which is kind of crazy just a few months ago to think about that. But, Craig, injuries can be contagious, and it feels like that's what's taking place here with the Atlanta Braves. Austin Riley, 6 to 8 weeks out with a fractured right hand, got hit with a pitch. It just keeps mounting up here for the Braves.
It does. It does. And if they make the postseason, you're talking about, you know, the most decimated team entering with very little odds to go far. I mean, they say that Riley will be back, but guys, let's just, you know, keep it real here. In all likelihood, this ain't going to be for the first round of the playoffs. So they would be without Acuna, without Riley. They've missed Albies for a period of time. Of course, they don't have Spencer Strider, and yet they're still right there for the postseason. And then we saw the report this morning that they're looking into signing Giovanni Urshela, who was placed on waivers. So the Braves are not quitting. I mean, they are still going to push forward and try to make the most out of this. I don't know if they'll get there, but what a story it would be. It almost goes from a team of disappointment in April and May to now a team that maybe some fans will be rooting for to get in because of the adversity.
Craig, a team in April before the year got underway, perhaps in late March, that was expected to contend for a National League pennant once again with the Dodgers, a team in the Braves that had won the National League East for six consecutive years, and a team that, despite the injuries that started to stack up to their key significant players, was still seen by the odds makers as a shoe-in to the National League postseason. That is not necessarily the case as of this moment. Atlanta holding on to a game and a half lead over the Mets for the third and final National League wild card spot. The Braves more than likely not catching the Phillies, down by seven games atop the National League East, but it's still an incredibly important divisional rivalry that starts this week in Atlanta. A great pitching matchup in game number one. It's Wheeler versus Lopez. Zach Wheeler versus Reynaldo Lopez on the other side for Atlanta. As we compare these two teams, as of this moment, Craig, the Phils minus 1,600 to win the National League East. Again, that would snap a six-year streak for the Braves atop this division. How much significance do you put into this midweek set in the ATL?
Well, look, they're taking it very seriously. You mentioned the matchup tonight. I mean, you have Max Fried and Aaron Nola tomorrow, Ben. So, I mean, this is going to be three games of really good matchups here. As far as, like, picking a winner or an outcome, it's the middle of August. It's really difficult to do. You're going to see minus 120s or minus 130s. That means it's a competitive series. You look around the rest of the league in baseball, you're seeing minus 200s, 250s, et cetera. So I just think it'll be a fun series. Look, I'm curious. Reynaldo Lopez has been banged up a little bit. He is back now pitching for the Braves. So, you know, for the Braves, they're hoping, of course, that he can be a major factor in any postseason run for them. But I don't know that this is necessarily going to be another preview of a series that we're going to see, because we've seen it in the National League now a couple of times. But really enjoyable to see two teams fighting so hard at this stage of the year.
Same thing in the American League today, Craig. We get underway in the Bronx. That's the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Yankees. Boyd and Heel on the mound today. Favorite minus 148 live at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but also two teams looking to stay in first place and getting pressure from either the second place team, like the Baltimore Orioles going up against the Yankees, or a plethora of teams, it feels like now, in the Central Division. How are we looking at this series for the Guardians and the Yankees?
Yeah, look, I think the Guardians do match up well against New York and, you know, very intelligent front office and pitching staff. You're going to see a lot of pitching around some of these guys, I would imagine, this week. Jose Ramirez, always a factor. I would play him to hit a home run or two in this series. He always steps up in the biggest moments for them. But I think the real story is, for me, is sitting here on all of these shows on Sports Grid and being asked about the Yankees, their demise, they're not going, and they have the best record in the American League. I mean, these Yankees fans, they will never be satisfied with anything. I mean, yeah, they had a tough run, like I told you guys earlier in the season, but in the end, they're going to make it. They're going to win their 90-something games, and they're right at the top with everybody else. So as long as they figure out how to get outs in the ninth inning, which I think is going to have to change for them, Donnie, I don't think that they're going to use Clay Holmes in the postseason in the ninth. But for now, they'll roll it until it gets real serious, and then they're going to have to mix and match for the time being. Another good series, though, this week.
Craig, bonus question. We're going to have five questions here in the last 20 seconds. Will we see a 100-win team at MLB this year?
No.
I don't think so either. It's not on pace at this moment. Craig Mish always delivers, even if we go back to first on the daily basis. Craig, we'll see you on Newswire at 11 a.m. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A triple header of WNBA action on this Tuesday night that we preview for you on the early line on Sports Grid. DRS, it should be a good week of WNBA games. We will have history later this week as well in Boston. In fact, it is tonight, if I am not mistaken, between the Connecticut Sun and the LA Sparks. But first, we start with the WNBA's best team at home, back in Brooklyn, 23-4. That's the New York Liberty. They have been victorious in each of their first two games following the long Olympic break. Make that six straight wins as you date back to the action in the middle of July. The Liberty getting ready to host the Dallas Wings tonight at home. It is a 12.5-point spread in favor of New York inside the Barclays Center. Total of 176.5.
Yeah, probably going to be an absolute roll job tonight. By the way, let me ask you this question. Like, following along with the WNBA, they had that long break. Some teams have played, I think, as many as 28 games. How many is it? 40? Right. Like, how long is the season itself? Is it 40 games?
40. Yeah, for a second consecutive year, they are playing 40 WNBA regular season games. Yes, there have been teams that have already hit 28 games. That would include the Fever, 13 and 15. The Mercury are 15 and 13, rather, and the Atlanta Dream, 9 and 17. But there are still some teams, for instance, the Connecticut Sun play tonight, 19 and 7, only 26 games. Everybody has played at least 26, though.
Yeah, get a little condensed here in the month of August. Should be fun to watch.
Sure.
But if you're looking at favorites, the same way we talk about like a Major League Baseball season, Ben, you have the haves and the have-nots late in the season. Teams start to round in the form knowing that they're headed for a championship or headed for probably not even making the postseason. You take a look at the Liberty and the Wings. That should be a blowout victory to me. We'll get to some other games here on the schedule a little bit later in this. But for my money, I'm taking a look at the teams that absolutely know they need to win, and that's the Liberty to stay up top. I think they blow it out tonight.
When you look at the Dallas Wings, though, because there are only 12 teams in the WNBA and the top eight make the postseason, last year we had four teams go into the playoffs with a winning record. Four were sub 500 and still made the playoffs. Going to be tougher to do that right now. Indiana and Chicago both would be playoff teams if the season ended today, both below 500, but the Fever playing such better basketball since a 2-9 start, of course. They have won 11 of their last 17 games. Dallas at this moment behind Chicago by 4.5 games. They have to start turning it on. They have one of the best bucket getters in all of the WNBA and Enrique Agunbowale, but New York continues to keep pace. 23 wins, 23-4 right now. The only team that has reached a 20-win benchmark in the W, and they have 23. So as I said, history tonight in Beantown. It is the first ever WNBA game ever contested inside TD Garden in Boston. The Sun get ready to host the Los Angeles Sparks, who are on a four-game skid. Connecticut, a 13.5-point home favorite, although home is in Boston this time around. 157.5 is that over-under.
Yeah, I don't think the Sparks are even going to show up in this game. I mean, quite frankly, coming right out of the break, just getting pasted. They're getting basically two touchdowns here at the guard of the Connecticut Sun. Once again, the haves and the have-nots. Sparks are done for the season. The Connecticut Sun are still playing for something, obviously. I think the Sun blow them out of the water, too. 20-plus points tonight, BSS. Blowout.
Yeah, I don't mind that look, DRS. I think the enthusiasm is going to be sky high inside TD Garden. Of course, we know Connecticut is the best defensive team in the WNBA. I would keep an eye on that total. Right before the Olympic break, we saw a big trade in the W. The Sky sent Marina Mabry to Connecticut. She adds on some perimeter shooting for this Sun team that, if they are going to contend for a WNBA championship, needs to add it up a little bit from deep, 2.5. Her three-point prop tonight. Keep an eye on the over. Dawana Bonner has been great all year for Connecticut, has looked rejuvenated since the long All-Star and Olympic break. 16.5 is her points prop tonight. So the Liberty in front of the Aces, now at plus 120 to win a WNBA title. Las Vegas and New York, of course, who faced off last year in the WNBA Finals, were co-favorites after the Olympic break at plus 155. A little bit of separation now for New York in front of Vegas.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting with that move, because a lot of the times, even looking and handicapping the NBA itself, you're not really worried about the record. It's just how these teams are going to show up and what you feel they can be in the playoffs. But now we're starting to separate ourselves here with the Liberty, 23-4 on the season. They do look like the best team, as opposed to the Aces. We're saying maybe they have the best player, and that's what shows up in the playoffs.
And that was represented, of course. The Libs went into Vegas and knocked off the Aces inside a very difficult place to win, the Michelob Ultra Arena, on Saturday night, winning by double digits, 79-67. The Seattle Storm and the Washington Mystics, that rounds out our triple header on this Tuesday in the W. A full Tuesday in MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
15 games on this Tuesday around Major League Baseball. That is the schedule. It is a full slate, and a couple really good midweek series start on this Tuesday evening. We first go to the Bronx, the two top teams in the American League. It's the Yankees and the Guardians. New York, 73-52. Half game advantage over Cleveland, 72-52 is the mark for the Guardians. Also a half game advantage for the Yankees in the American League East in front of Baltimore, the O's, 73-53. Very compact at the top. What an opportunity it is inside Yankee Stadium for our guy, Luis. Don't call him heel. And the Yanks, a minus 154 home money line favorite today against Cleveland. Over under is 8.5. The title of the game and perhaps the series, ALCS preview. Who rises to the occasion tonight in New York?
I think we might be looking at an under too, Ben, 8.5. Now, granted, wind is blowing out to right field about 8 miles per hour, but so many times during the summer in the Bronx, it's like, okay, what is it? 85, 90, 95 degrees at first pitch. If you woke up on the East Coast today, particularly the Northeast, boy, you got that vibe of fall is coming. 68 degrees at first pitch, which means that temperature is probably going to dip into the lower 60s. Maybe the ball doesn't travel as far. Now, Matthew Boyd is on the mound here today for the Cleveland Guardians. You might remember him most likely from the Detroit Tigers. Wasn't a great pitcher. Only 19 batters that he's faced so far this season and has handled them well. But it's certainly different once you're going to get that expanded format. You're going to take on the Yankees in the Bronx in a hitter's ballpark. I expect him to get touched up a bit. But Luis Gil on the opposite side against right-handed batters, Ben. Last 30 days, he's been sensational, quite frankly, on the season. He's faced 271 right-handed batters, a 108 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 250. Why is that important? Usually, you're going to go up against much more left-handed batters if they have the ability to do so. Now, Gil, as I said, probably should be good against righties, but lefties, take a look at this. Kwan, Brennan, Ramirez, Naylor, Jimenez, Sherman, Naylor, and Rocchio. What does that do? Simple math here, Ben. One right-handed batter in the lineup. So if I'm looking at this game, it's hard to say Boyd is going to go in there and dominate the Yankees. I understand. But at the same time, if a pitcher does struggle with left-handed bats, and you're going to get eight of those tonight in the Bronx with the wind blowing out to right field, maybe you're taking a shot here on the Guardians today, but it's tough. It buoyed your pitcher. If it was somebody else, like, you know what? A little bit more confident. Yeah. But I got to tell you, if maybe an underdog price comes into it, maybe it is the Guardians tonight.
8.5 is that total. The Yankees just 8-7 here in the month of August. They lost the final two games, including in Williamsport at the Little League Classic against the Tigers this weekend. What is so fascinating about the Guardians, what a streaky team that still holds a 2.5 game lead atop the American League Central. Really been that way for Cleveland since the end of July. A 5-game win streak to end out July into early August. Then a 7-game losing skid. Then a 5-game win streak. And then the Guardians took that 5-game win streak to Milwaukee and got swept by the Brewers this weekend. They continue the road trip in the Bronx against the Yankees. Donnie, it's always fascinating, right? Because as we near October, it seems as though the Sets take on an added layer of significance, especially when they are between two very good teams battling for that number one overall seed in the American League. Do you put any extra weight into this series in the Bronx this week?
No, not necessarily. It's too early for that. And granted, when you say, well, over a Major League Baseball season, is it technically getting late? Yes, it is. But you still have roughly, let's just say, a month and a half left to go. Each and every game matters. Now, granted, you get under the microscope, right, under those final 2 weeks of the season, where now you're really starting to look at some of those magic numbers in order to clinch your actual division and or just a wild card spot at that point. They understand, the players themselves, Ben, the magnitude of the series and what it possibly means, as maybe it's on a collision course where you win this series, you might be in the driver's seat now to actually be the number one seed in the AL. We understand that. But from a day-to-day basis, baseball players can't look like that. There's way too many games in front of them to say, woo, look at that. We won this series. Then you lose your next three games. You gave up all the ground in that series, as opposed to if it was the final series in September. So big series nonetheless. Do or die scenario for either one of these teams? Not necessarily.
A marquee matchup in the American League, a marquee matchup within the NL and the National League East, starts tonight in Atlanta. Reynaldo Lopez makes his return for the Braves. Last pitched on July 28th, 3 innings of shutout work. That's been a similar story for Lopez, but left the start early with right forearm tightness. He is now back after nearly a month off. He did lose his last two complete starts, not complete games, but full starts that he made for Atlanta. When he left, and as of this moment, I guess you could say, he has a 2.06 ERA. He's probably not going to hit the innings minimum this year, but that number would be the best ERA in all of MLB. He gets the start, but with the Braves as a home underdog against Zach Wheeler and Philadelphia. Minus 134 is that number tonight between the Phils and the Braves, a divisional rivalry. What do you like for the opener in the ATL?
Yeah, the Phillies will be a very popular public favorite tonight, and rightfully so. Zach Wheeler on the mound, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball on the road. Now, granted, you're looking at a Phillies team that hasn't played all that great of baseball, and that's why that number is not minus 150 or higher. You could say Reynaldo Lopez, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, but what are we actually getting out of Reynaldo Lopez in the start, roughly off for about a month in Major League Baseball? Very hard just to pick up exactly where you left off, which he was one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball. The one saving grace for the Atlanta Braves is, as I said, the Phillies have been playing great baseball, which includes their bats, but they also gave a couple guys some extended days off. Bryce Harper didn't play Sunday, had the day off Monday, now coming back Tuesday. Same thing for JT Realmuto. Maybe tonight is the night they get it going. And also, if we're looking at the better pitcher on the mound tonight, Ben, it's the Philadelphia Phillies, Zach Wheeler. He's been fantastic all season long. Are we taking a question mark on what we're getting out of Lopez? That's advantage Philadelphia Phillies. You just saw Austin Riley down for 6 to 8 weeks, which basically covers the entirety of the regular season. They hope to get him back if they make the postseason in those early rounds. They just don't have enough firepower tonight. If Zach Wheeler is just average Zach Wheeler, what does that mean for Atlanta? Two or three runs? The Phillies should be able to win this ball game here. It's a cheap price because how well the Phillies, or should I say how well the Phillies have not been playing as opposed to playing well. I'm still going to take the Phils and Wheeler tonight, though.
The Phils 8-8 in August. They had a chance for a four-game weekend sweep over the Washington Nationals. As Donnie mentioned, they rested a couple of guys. They lost that series finale, but they had won four straight entering Sunday's game against the Nats. This is a huge one, not necessarily a divisional battle, as we might have expected at this stage in late August between these two teams, but still a very important series. Philadelphia, 7-game lead for the top spot in the National League East, as you see there, a minus 1600 favorite to win the divisional crown. It would be the first time in the last seven MLB seasons a team not named Atlanta, who has won six straight NL East titles, has won this division. But the Braves still a playoff team as of this very moment, but it's getting difficult. 1.5 game lead only for Atlanta over the Mets for that third and final NL wild card spot. And the bad news for the Braves yesterday, Austin Riley is out with a fractured right hand for the next 6 to 8 weeks. For a team that has been struggling offensively, for a team that does not have many stars left in the lineup, to lose Austin Riley is tough. Although Chris Sale and Zach Wheeler will not face off this week, DRS, it is important for the Cy Young perspective. Again, another opportunity for Wheeler to claw his way back into this race. His last start in July, gave up 7 earned against the Yankees. It really made his price a much longer number. But in August, he has given up only 3 earned runs in 3 starts. He has won 2 of the 3. He is 12-5 with a 2.72 ERA. Right now, it is Chris Sale at a minus 300 number to win the National League Cy Young Award. Wheeler at plus 400. This start could go a long way if there is any hope for Wheeler to contend for that Cy Young Award.
And also, long way for the Atlanta Braves. If the Braves lose this series, you're probably putting a wrap on the NL East. If the Braves can win the series, then there's still hope that the Phillies aren't playing well, and we can maybe make back that 5 to 6 games, and away you go there. So a lot riding on the line, which includes awards and also maybe putting this division to bed. As I said, I expect the Philadelphia Phillies to win tonight. Better lineup, better pitcher, even though it's on the road. The Phillies should rebound with the victory tonight for me.
And these two teams will face off once again, a 4-game set that starts in Philadelphia next Thursday. The Braves have won 4 of 6 in the season set so far. More games on this Tuesday in MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Will the Astros keep it rolling today in Houston against the Boston Red Sox? Houston has won 11 of its last 12 games. The Astros have opened up now a five-game lead for that top spot in the American League West. And the Red Sox need to rally. They're 4.5 games back of the Royals for the third and final American League wild card spot. The Astros walking it off yesterday, courtesy of Yiner Diaz, a walk-off solo shot, and that home run. Houston was a favorite yesterday. They win with Yusei Kikuchi on the bump. They're a home favorite once again today with Ronel Blanco. Minus 126, that updated number on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The over-under stands at 8.5. It's game two in H-Town. What's the play?
It's times like this that make it tough to handicap. You see that Houston Astros lineup against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days? It's been fantastic. Bregman, Alvarez, Diaz, Pena, Singleton, Caratini, all with elevated weighted on base percentage numbers. You take a look at Nick Pivetta. Over the past 30 days, he's faced 83 batters. Look at his ISO against, a 346, which is astronomically high. A weighted on base percentage of 389, and quite frankly, lefty and righty batters are tattooing him. But what happens if I told you today, Ben, over the past 60 days in this Major League Baseball season, just looking at xFIP numbers, there are 24 pitchers on the card today, minimum of 20 innings pitched over the past 60 days. How about this? The best pitcher on the card? It's Nick Pivetta. So make it make sense at this point. A guy with a 5.17 ERA over the past 60 days, getting hammered left and right. We're trying to tell you that he's just getting unlucky at this time. Let's take a look at the Boston Red Sox on the opposite side going against Ronel Blanco. You know what Blanco struggles with over the past 59 at-bats over left-handed batters? Yeah, he can't get any of those lefties out. You know who has a lot of left-handed batters? It's the Boston Red Sox. Yesterday, I told you, I thought that game would be able to sneak over the total because sometimes in a hitter's ballpark, you just have to ride with the batters as opposed to the pitchers. I'm going to do the same thing tonight. I'm going to say I'm not trusting Pivetta's 3.14 dominant xFIP number. I'm going to trust a little bit more of those last 60 days of having that ERA of close to 5 with a good hitting lineup in order. Let's go over tonight in this game between Boston and Houston.
Over 8.5, Jeremy Pena has been great offensively. Alex Bregman has been great offensively. It has been sparking this Astros run. At the end of June, the Seattle Mariners had a three-game lead in the American League West. Now, nearly 2 months later, it's the Astros up by 5 games. Speaking of Seattle, they are just 12-16 since the All-Star break. And they're an underdog once again tonight in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. LA nearly $1.50 favorite. Walker Buehler makes his second start since his return in the middle of June after his return of nearly 2 years away from MLB. 8.5 the total tonight, late night at the Ravine. What do you like?
Each day is supposed to be an individual handicap, but sometimes you just find yourself looking at this game going, all right, Walker Buehler's coming back to the mound once again, only 18 batters that he's faced over the past 30 days, and he's probably still finding his way. So 5 innings and 4 earned runs is probably what you're going to get. And then you say to yourself, oh, well, who's going to score those 4 runs for the Seattle Mariners at this point, just watching them go? You look at the lineup. The numbers actually make sense to take the Mariners tonight. The better pitcher on the mound is actually going to be with the Mariners and Bryce Miller. An ERA of under 3 and an xFIP number of 3.67 over the past 60 days. They should win this baseball game. But I'm saying to you, as a handicapper and a gambler, I don't know if I can back the Mariners right now. Because sometimes you look and say, Donnie, just trust the numbers, which should tell me Robles, Arozarena, Raleigh, Polanco, Raleigh, Turner, and Rojas are all positive batters tonight going up against a struggling pitcher. And I can't tell you that I actually believe that at this point. So this is one I'm just sitting out to watch it. Because if I wake up tomorrow and it's 5-1 Mariners, like, you know what? That's what made sense. But I wake up tomorrow and it's 3-1 Dodgers, I'm like, yeah, exactly. The Mariners just can't hit.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. These are the games for the Dodgers that they have to keep winning to keep pace. Yeah. You also want to see that postseason staff potentially start to take shape. Is Walker Buehler going to be in the bullpen for October and beyond for Dave Roberts? Or could he be a game 3 starter, something of the sort? He wasn't bad in his return since the middle of June in nearly 2 months. It's been a shaky season, though, overall for Buehler. The Mariners, They've lost six of their last seven, 7-9 in August. The Dodgers have won seven of their last 10, just trying to hold on to a three-game lead in the National League West. The Dodgers have won the division 10 of the last 11 years. They entered this year as that super team in the major leagues as a minus 650 favorite to win the NL West. And they're still minus 700, but it's just a three-game lead over the surging San Diego Padres, who won the opener yesterday in Southern California 5-3 over the Twins. Jackson Merrill delivers once again. Michael King picks up another victory, and Robert Suarez gets his 28th save of the year. San Diego, a slight, and I mean very slight, home underdog today against the Twins. It's a virtual pick'em, minus 112 for Minnesota, minus 104 other side for San Diego, total 7.5. What's the play here in San Diego?
I think we stay under the total. Martin Perez hasn't been bad last 30 days. 97 batters that he's faced, a 149 ISO against, and a weighted on base percentage of 258. That should be manageable and be able to hold down that Minnesota Twins offense. Bailey Ober on the opposite side. Maybe a name that you're not all that familiar with, but on the card today, out of 24 pitchers, Ben, he's number four with an xFIP number of 3.47. And if you're the ERA guy out there, it's a 1.92 over the past 60 days. How does that equate to his last 30 days and 129 batters he's faced? How about an 068 ISO? So on a weighted on base percentage of 194. The Padres lineup looks great. It's been crushing right-handed pitching, but you are in a true pitcher's ballpark against pitchers that make sense against these lineups. I don't know if we get eight runs tonight. Give me the under in a coin flip game.
The Twins, a very slight favorite. The Royals, a huge home favorite against the Angels. They were victorious yesterday. Cole Reagan's nearly a $2 favorite against the Halos. The Guardians, an underdog in the Bronx. They have a 2.5 game lead over both Minnesota and KC at this moment. Could be less than that come a Wednesday morning. Let's finish out with the game at Citi Field. The Mets walk it off yesterday courtesy of a solo shot from Francisco Alvarez in the bottom of the ninth. They are a home favorite once again against the O's, who are just 15-15 since the All-Star break. A quick pick here, DRS, before you go.
Yeah, let's go Mets in this one again. Dean Kramer struggling over the past 60 days with his xFIP numbers here, similar to what we saw last night. I think maybe the slightly better pitcher on the mound for the Mets and their home. I think the Mets pick up another victory here.
Jose Quintana gets the start today for the Amazons. They only trail Atlanta by a game and a half. DRS, we'll talk tomorrow. The early line continues up next here on Sportsnet.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line for just a few more minutes on this Tuesday all across the Sports Grid Network. Again, we are within a week remaining until the college football season starts this Saturday. And then we're about 9 days away from a full Thursday slate around college football. And next Saturday, the first full Saturday of this college football season. Next Sunday, we've got a marquee game on Labor Day weekend. Sunday night out in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, USC opens up its campaign against LSU. It's a top 25 showdown to begin the year. The 13th ranked Bayou Bengals, the 23rd ranked Trojans. And it will be a couple of new quarterbacks for the two most recent Heisman winners on either side. For LSU, Garrett Nussmeier. Now the signal caller in Baton Rouge, he kept the course. He stayed under Brian Kelly despite Jaden Daniels being there for the past 2 years. Of course, in 2022, it was Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner. And everybody thought, as we discussed yesterday, that Malachi Nelson would take the throne in Los Angeles and be the heir apparent to Caleb Williams. And then, for whatever reason, Malachi Nelson didn't pan out at Southern Cal, transfers to Boise State, didn't beat out Matt Maxson for that job. Who did win the job at USC, that, of course, is Miller Moss. 8 career appearances in his 3 years at USC. It is not shocking, like it was up at Boise, to see Malachi Nelson lose out on this job. Miller Moss was the guy from the very end of last year when he got the start and made very good, balling out in the Holiday Bowl against Louisville. USC won that game 42-28. Miller Moss was 23 of 33 for 372 yards. A Holiday Bowl record, 6 touchdown tosses against a pretty good Cardinals defense. All right, it's a bowl game. It didn't mean all that much on either side. I will hear that, despite Louisville being a team that played in the ACC title game. But Miller Moss earned the mantle, a Southern California kid who is now the quarterback of USC. And there is one thing that you cannot question when it comes to Lincoln Riley. He knows how to develop quarterbacks. He knows how to turn quarterbacks into Heisman Trophy contenders. Look at Baker Mayfield when Lincoln was the OC in Norman. Look at Kyler Murray when Lincoln took the reins. Look at Jalen Hurts in his only year at Oklahoma, finishing as the Heisman runner-up. And, of course, Caleb Williams at USC. You should have lofty expectations for Miller Moss and what this USC offense could be capable of once again in 2024. They will be one of the more exciting offenses right away from their very first year in the Big Ten. But what about the season overall for the Trojans? It was supposed to be a Caleb coronation last year, a USC team that with the returning Heisman Trophy winner, the favorites to win the Pac-12 before the year got underway. It was anything but. It was a 7-5 regular season, sure a Holiday Bowl win, but never even getting close to Pac-12 title game contention. If Lincoln Riley could not elevate one of the great quarterbacks we have seen in the last two decades in college football, what is to become of Miller Moss now in his time in Los Angeles? The win total for USC is 7.5. The over has the juice. USC has one of the most difficult schedules in the Big Ten this year. The Trojans will play all 12 FBS opponents in their regular season. It's a 20-1 number for USC to contend for the Big Ten. It's the fifth best price, but it's well behind Michigan. It's a plus 470 number for Southern Cal to reach the college football playoff. It is not the same outlook for USC this year as it was either entering 2022, and certainly not the case as of last offseason entering 2023. But the biggest change for USC is not Miller Moss stepping in for Caleb Williams. It's on the defensive side of the football. And I commend Lincoln Riley because he dismissed Alex Grinch, who was his longtime defensive coordinator, even dating back to their time at Oklahoma. And USC's defense was abysmal last year and really in 2022 as well. Danton Lynn makes the journey, not a long one, from Westwood to downtown L.A. He was the defensive coordinator at UCLA. He goes now to the crosstown rival in USC. When you look at the game to start off this season in Las Vegas, let me hunt down that line very quickly here to make sure that you have it. LSU is a 5.5-point favorite for that Sunday night marquee matchup, week number one of the year against USC. Total 63.5. I'm going to bet the over until proven otherwise. The Bayou Bengals went over in 12 of 13 games a season ago. The early line returns tomorrow on a Wednesday at 8 a.m. Eastern. We'll talk then.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.